It's been a wonderful year of faith that we've been celebrating for the past year, and we've spent the greater part of the green Sundays of ordinary time after Epiphany and Pentecost slowly moving our way through the Creed. I've said these words time and again during this year, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex agendi. The law of prayer is the law of belief, is the law of action. How we pray influences how and what we believe, and in turn, how we act. Now, most of you prayed the Creed the first time when your parents, in awe at the miracle of your life, wanted more for you, and Christ made you a child of God and an heir to heaven at baptism. Maybe you had the Creed prayed over you then, but you've been praying the Creed over and over again for years now, at least every Sunday. But there comes a time when, as St. Paul tells the Corinthians in his first letter to them in chapter 13, verse 11, we must put away childish things. We learn the Creed by memorizing it along with all of our other prayers. And now we have to take responsibility for the words that we pray. We have to know why we pray them, what's all behind the words. Each one of us has the obligation imposed on us by the sacrament of confirmation to learn as much about the faith into which we have been fully initiated as possible. Especially in this day and age, when distractions from and assaults on our Catholic faith are everywhere, none of us, not one of us, can afford to be lazy when it comes to knowing our faith. At the beginning of this year of faith, we put the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the pews, and I've encouraged you to take it home and read it, to give it to your friends. Okay? If you still don't have a copy at home, there are copies in the pew, so take it home with you tonight. This whole year, we've offered all kinds of ways to learn more about our faith. Religious education for children and adults, the apologetics course, retreats. You always have the Adoration Chapel. But have you taken advantage of all these things and of the time God is giving you to pray and learn more about your belief? That prayer and belief are inseparable from each other. We've done the Creed in slow motion. And sometime next year, I'd like to do a series called The Mass in Slow Motion. Because I want every single person who calls Prince of Peace their spiritual home to fall in love with the public prayer of the Church, the sacred liturgy, and especially to know why we celebrate the Mass the way we do, according to the mind of the Church and her glorious Roman tradition. But what we do at Mass makes no sense if we don't know why we believe what we do about God, which is why we did this series first. Now, you may have missed some of the series. They're available on the website, and soon enough, you will actually be able to get them in book form. So more information about that will be in the bulletin and on the website. And so that way you can, you know, take your time at your own leisure to study and meditate over those. But for now, though, I want to focus on that third part of that triad, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex agendi. Okay? That third part, which is lex agendi, the law of doing. There's a reason why the Church seals her prayers and the Creed with one little word. It's a weird little word. It existed in Semitic languages even before Hebrew and can mean, so be it, to be firm, to confirm, faithful, to have faith, believe, and so it is. It's a word that can mean all kinds of different things. It first appears in the Bible in Numbers chapter 5, verse 22, when the Lord instructs the priest how to curse a woman caught in adultery who is bidden to say amen, amen to her punishment. Can't imagine doing that nowadays, can you? But in the New Testament, it appears 52 times. Many of those, as Jesus solemnly intones, "Amen, amen," to mean "truly, truly," before teaching some infallible truth. This odd Hebrew word, whose roots are so ancient we have no idea where it actually comes from, passes over into Christian use so early that Justin Martyr, who died in the year 150, attests that it was said after the Eucharistic prayer that turned the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. And so it has remained, the response to our prayers and faith, remaining all of these centuries in its original language. St. Augustine, in one of his sermons, told his flock, "What will we do in heaven?" I answer that our whole activity will consist in singing Amen and Alleluia. In heaven, you will cry out Amen and Alleluia, not simply with sounds from your throat, but with the devotion of the heart. Those things that Paul said, we see through a mirror, as in a riddle, we shall see with an inexpressibly different feeling of love. We will then shout, "Why? It's true." And because we shall see the truth with perpetual delight, we shall be moved to praise God by shouting, "Alleluia."